Father, thank you for all that you've done in this heart. Thank you, God, that you have taken Megan into the deep things of your heart and your mind, and you have revealed to her who you are as the bridegroom God, who you are as the king, who you are as the coming judge. And God, I ask that you would just give her a mouth to speak tonight, to unveil to us those deep things, the deep things of your heart. Give us ears to hear what the Holy Spirit would say to us tonight, and give us eyes to see the beauty and the glory of your Son. In Jesus' name, amen.
I'm a new mom, as Corey mentioned, and me and my husband, we got married 2 years ago. Corey and Meredith actually married us, and in Missouri, we met at IHOP in 2012 and fell in love, all that fun stuff. They married us, and then we went off to Hong Kong. We spent about 4.5 months out in Hong Kong pioneering a small house of prayer in a life-size replica of Noah's Ark. And it was really cool and really hard, but it was really cool. It was a small team of us, just 8, and a little baby, not our baby, another baby. And we spent 4.5 months hidden in a little room, that 247 room, that was the number. Yes, that was strategic. We didn't do that, but someone else did. Someone else's genius idea. But we spent 4.5 months just giving the Lord our all. And while we were there, obviously, conceived a little dude, came back, found out we were pregnant, rescued a dog, didn't have a house, all in the first week. What are we doing in Kansas City? We moved back, we're pregnant, we rescued a dog, and we have no house. The Lord totally provided within a couple of weeks. And now we have little Noah. Well, he wasn't provided in a couple weeks, but, you know, down the road, Noah came forth, and here we go. He's 4 months old now, and we did name him Noah for many reasons, one of those where the Lord had us and what he was showing us. He spoke to us in Hong Kong and said, go deep in my word related to why I said, as in the days of Noah. And I won't preach on that tonight, sorry. I'll let Corey take that later this week, but there's so much to it. But a key to that is intimacy. It's the foundation of why we exist, intimacy with the Lord. I have the privilege of opening up a vast subject, a huge subject that we will continue into the next age to discover more about as we behold him, even face to face in the next age. And so it's a joy that I get to come and be here with you guys. I just wanted to give you a little teeny background of who I am. And like Corey said, I've been under his leadership since 2010. It's more than 3 or 4 years, Corey. Math isn't his strong subject. Since 2010. And so for 6 years, I have been so privileged to be under his leadership and Meredith's. And now we get to travel doing what we love doing and sharing why the Lord is worthy of praise night and day. Amen. And so I am here, and I'm excited because I love talking about the beauty of Jesus. I love talking about him as our bridegroom. He is a king. He's a judge. He has many titles in the word. But I believe that in this hour, it's really critical that we give ourselves to the pursuit of the knowledge of Jesus, who he is on this side of eternity, because how we know him now will affect us on into the ages to come. And the time that we give sitting at his feet, be it in the house of prayer, if you are called and if that is your vocation to be in the house of prayer, spending long hours full time, that's awesome. Or if you're in the marketplace, or if you're a stay-at-home mom, whatever your calling may be, whatever the Lord has called you to, here on this earth right now, you all have been given the access and invitation to be the bride of Christ and be priests. So he calls us a kingdom of priests, right? And there's so much to that. And a part of being a priest is you get to go into the Holy of Holies. Amen. You get to go, the priest, the high priest in the Old Testament, he would go in once a year. And what would he do? Well, he'd do a lot of things before he went in. But what would he do when he went in? He sprinkled blood on the altar. He got to go in and minister to God and his presence, his manifest presence, would come on the earth. And a priest would go in on the behalf of Israel, and he would do it. He would make atonement for their sins with a sacrifice, and he would go in on their behalf. But it was necessary that a priest would go in to make atonement for their sins, that the Lord would say, I see your yes. I see your obedience. I'm forgiving you of your sins. I'm calling you faithful, faithful ones. And as priests now, Jesus, because of what he did, because of the veil that was torn, if you were here earlier today, we kind of started singing about the veil being torn. And this is so key for us right now, because when we first discover and learn that, you know, there is a heavenly temple, it's like, oh, that's awesome. It's beautiful. We can read about it in Ezekiel. We can read about it in the book of Revelation. We can read about it and say, this is beautiful. Look at what's to come. But guess what? Rarely do we focus or hear many teachings on, the Lord says, come up here now, like right now. Like I'm here to tell you, it's real, that by the Spirit, by what Jesus did in giving his body for us, shedding his blood, it says that he was all that was needed. Hebrews 3, it says, we'll get to the notes eventually. We may or may not. Hebrews 3 says, therefore, brethren, you who share in a heavenly calling, consider the great apostle, the high priest, Jesus. He is our confession, the confession of our faith. Our confession is a man. Amen. And Jesus has torn the veil so that tonight, you wouldn't just sit here and just hear from me and hear a bunch of words, but my desire is that we actually enter in together, right? Because the Lord is about experiential knowledge. He is wanting us to get more than just words on a page. I've given you a lot of notes here tonight. We're not going to go through them all. We don't have enough time to go through them all, but it's for you to go home and read through yourselves. But we're going to hit scripture throughout this. But he desires for us to come up. He told John, he said, John, come up here. And he said, immediately I was in the Spirit. And he was seeing what we see in Revelation, given the testimony of Jesus in an encounter. And I believe he was taken up. I believe David, throughout the Psalms, I believe that he wasn't just on the earth, but that when he said in Psalm 27:4, one thing have I desired. I'm sure you guys can quote it. What is it? And that will I seek. Dwell in the house of the Lord. There's two more things. Yes. Dwell in the house of the Lord. Gaze upon his beauty. Inquire of him in his temple all the days of my life. David had to have seen that heavenly temple to have had a desire, right? His eyes had to have been opened to be able to give us what he has given us in the word. And I think that is available. I know it's available for us. And I was praying to the Lord tonight and asking him about you guys, and I just felt like he said, these are the hungry ones. And I feel like some of you in this room, you've been through a lot. You've been through a lot even to get here tonight. Like, tonight was difficult to get here, but you're here. You could be anywhere else. You could have stayed at home because it was so hard to get here, but you're here because you came expecting the Lord to speak to you. Not me, not Corey, not a worship team, but the Lord, right? And some of you, I believe you, that there are people in this room who have experienced death. This was highlighted, death this year in your family. Broken relationships, disappointment, job loss. Some of you have, I feel like there's someone that was in a bad car accident recently, that the Lord says, tonight, I'm here to meet with you. And the Lord, I believe, wants to meet with each of you in a very unique way. We all have unique desires and needs, right? All of us, and the Holy Spirit is more than able to speak to us and minister our hearts. And so while I'm sharing, if the Lord's speaking to you, if he is ministering to your heart, I just invite you guys to go there. Just let the Lord minister to you and you be as you are. And kids, the kids in the room, they don't bother me. They don't distract the Holy Spirit. They're not going to bother me, right? So let your kids do what they want to do. If they want to run around, you let them run around. There's a place for the kids in the house of prayer. There should be. And I have this whole new zeal for that now that I'm a mom. And my little one screams. And I'm like, oh, I don't want to distract anyone. But the Lord's comforted me. And he's like, Megan, they're welcome in the house of prayer. We have a lot to learn from our kids. A lot to learn from them. He says, come to me like little children, right? He said, let the little children come to me. Theirs is the kingdom of heaven. So kids, you be kids. Of course, listen to your parents, but be free in here tonight, okay? I'm going to pray again. Father, we love you. And we thank you for your son. Jesus, we adore you. We worship you tonight. We thank you for your presence in worship. We thank you for your presence in our midst right now. We say, here we are. Just invite you to take a deep breath. We love you, Lord. And we welcome your presence. And we set down before your feet difficulties and hardships of the week in our families, in our friends, in our relationships, in our workplaces. And we just set them at your feet right now. And we say, here we are. We're here to adore you. We're here to worship you. We're here to hear your voice and be encountered by you and touch you. Oh, we want to touch you tonight, Lord. We want to behold you in your beauty. We want to behold you in your glory. We say we want more than a good teaching, than a teaching at all. We want you, Jesus. The Word made flesh. We want you. We love you. You said that if we would ask, Father, you would give to us, and that you would not withhold the Spirit. You would give without measure to us. And we believe, Father, that you have gifts to give your children. And so we ask as your children. We thank you, Jesus, for your blood. Your blood that has cleansed us and made us new. We thank you for making a way that you descended from heaven as God. You put on flesh to reveal your heart to us, a broken people, a people who turned our backs on you over and over again. You knew it from the beginning and you still came. You descended and ascended. You have all power and all authority in heaven and on earth. Death had no hold over you. Hallelujah. Death had no hold over you. You conquered death. We plead your blood over our minds right now. I plead your blood, Jesus, over all of our bodies. Right now, any body in here that is sick, Lord, I plead your blood and I ask that you would stretch forth your hand. Heal our bodies tonight as we sit in your presence, as we behold you. Touch our minds right now. We need a fresh renewal of our minds daily. We say, cleanse our minds, sprinkle us tonight. Our consciences, sprinkle us. And we just say yes. We set our eyes on you right now and nothing else, Lord. And we say yes. Yes to all that you have for us. Yes to your love. We receive your love tonight. We receive your mercy. We receive your grace. You're so kind. You're so patient. And we believe the veil has been torn. And if there's any veil that exists, it's boredom. The veil has been torn, so we step through. I'm just going to encourage you guys, let's believe this. It really has been torn. His flesh was the veil, and it's been torn. And by his blood, we can enter in. And we're told that we're seated at the right hand of God. We're seated in heavenly places. Oh, do we believe it? We're seated right now. Our spirit man, we're seated where he is seated. And it's so crazy how it all works. We're seated with him right now, yet we're very much aware that we're here. But we're with him in spirit. And so right now we focus on you, Jesus, our bridegroom, the lamb that was slain, but has risen, King of kings, the one who is wrapped in light, wrapped in unapproachable light, yet you say, come up here, draw near. We love you. Eyes, I just speak to our eyes. Eyes be open right now. Eyes be open. Lord, thank you for your presence. Release your fire. We want to burn for you, Jesus. Great burning one. The one who consumes, is consumed with fire. Oh, cause us to burn, our hearts to burn right now. We draw near. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Just give him a prayer of thanksgiving. Just thank him with your own mouth. Thank you, Jesus. We give you praise. You're worthy of our praise. You're beautiful. You see us right now. You say with one look of your eye, your heart is ravished. One look of our eye, we gaze on you right now, believing you are moved by our voices. Let him hear your voice, saints. I know you got voices in here. Tell him you're moved by my voice. Tell him you love him. Thank him for his goodness in your life. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Father. You're good. You're good. You're kind. You're patient. You're compassionate. You're merciful. You're merciful to me. Oh, we love you. I love you. I bless your name, Jesus. I just believe the Lord right now wants to remove some just heavy burdens off shoulders. I just see just shoulders. I feel a weight on my shoulders, and I just believe he says, oh, come to me. Come to me. Rest is a place. Rest is in his presence. Rest is with him where he is right now, and he says that we're there. We give you our burdens, Jesus. We give you our burdens. I feel like there's someone in the room who is a caretaker of an elderly person. Is that anyone in the room right now? You're a caretaker. Or you have cared for the elderly. A Okay, I see some hands. The Lord says, thank you. Thank you. I just see grace being poured out on you right now. Strength. You are the face of Jesus to that person. When that person couldn't reason, when that person couldn't think for themselves, you showed them the love of Christ. Your embrace healed their hearts. You'll never know on this side how much it meant to them, but the Lord sees. He has seen. I feel like there's someone in the room too who it's just been saying, oh, Lord, if you can just get me through this wilderness, this dry season, if you can just get me through, I'll follow you wholeheartedly. I'll burn for you again. If you could just get me through. I believe that He says He's ordained wilderness seasons in this room. John the Baptist burned in the wilderness. Burned. People came out to him. He was encountering the Lord. The wilderness is not easy. It's easy to feel alone. It's easy to feel scared. It's easy to feel like you're, no one sees, but the Lord says, I see you. And I'm coming to you. Ask me why. He's not brought you into the place of a wilderness season without a purpose. He desires to show you the springs of living water that will shoot up from the ground, that will shoot up from within you as you taste and as you see that He is good. As Sammy was singing earlier, through the trials, you're good. How does the song go? What was she singing? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You make all things beautiful. He says, I am making you beautiful right where you are in the season that you're in. 1 Peter 1, these trials have come so that your faith, it doesn't say if they come, perhaps they might come. It says, these trials have come so that your faith, which is of greater worth than gold and perishes even though refined by fire, may be proven genuine at the day that Jesus is revealed. Friends, this momentary affliction is but a momentary affliction. It's nothing. And where you are right now, the Lord sees. And He says, I am doing a work on the inside of you that you might not be able to comprehend or see, but I see it. And it's my hand at work. Do you trust me? He calls you friends. He says, be my friend. Share in my suffering. Guys, this is intimacy with the Lord. We are being in His presence right now. How many of you feel peace or you feel something tangible right now? Okay, so we're gonna stay here for a minute because the Lord is at work. His presence, in His presence, there's joy, the fullness of joy. In His presence, there's healing. Right now, there's healing. Ask Him. He sees you. I just keep hearing that. Tell them I see them. Tell them I know. Some of you have had extreme heartbreak this season, this month. Extreme heartache. The Lord says, I make all things new. He's not left you to fend for yourself, though it may feel lonely at times. He's not left you, friends. He's watching, speaking to you, longing to be with you where you are and for you to be with him where he is. Lord, I thank you for your healing power. I ask that you would manifest your healing power right now. Demonstrate your power and your goodness in our bodies. Demonstrate your power and your goodness in our bodies. We love you. I feel like there's someone who's just been offended at God too by this heartbreak. He wants to move you past offense. Jesus walked the earth, was betrayed by his own brothers. Yet he remains silent against his accusers. He's known as the Lamb, the meek one. He was silent. He could have spoken against all of them. One word from his mouth, and the one lashing his back could have dropped dead. Yet he stood or knelt. He continued receiving for us. Do you believe he's good in every season? Do you believe he's kind? He's compassionate? Do you believe that he sees you and that he's a lifter of your head? That he's a good shepherd? That he leads you by still waters? And that he causes you to drink? Friends, you're here, I believe, because you're hungry. Be filled. That's what the word says. Be filled. Thank you, Jesus. If you need to ask the Lord to forgive you for being offended at him right now, I just invite you to do it in your own heart, in your own way. Friends, I promise, we release that to the Lord. You will experience healing in your heart. You may even experience in your physical body right now. Many times it's connected. He ordains the seasons. He changes them. He holds them in his hand. He is the author and the finisher of our faith. Do we believe it? Do we believe that he has good in store for us, in store for our families? Thank you. We love you. We love you, Jesus. I just see walls just coming down right now in the spirit. Offense is really being highlighted. If you've been offended and it's created bitterness in your heart that is hard to escape, be it a person, relationship, coworker, boss, friends, when we harbor bitterness, we are holding ourselves in bondage. No one else is doing it but ourselves. The Lord says, I want to set you free tonight. I see the pain. I want to heal your heart, and I want you to be free. So we say, thank you, Lord. Forgive us. Forgive us and make us whole. Fill us afresh. Thank you, Lord. Jesus said in the garden, Father, I desire that they would be with me where I am. Isn't that stunning? Before Jesus goes to the cross, we see him interceding for us. Before he heads to the cross to bear our sins, sins yet committed even, he prays for us. He not only prays for us, but he says, Father, this is my desire, that they whom you have given me would be with me where I am, that they would see me in my glory. Friends, it's available for us right now. One day he's going to split the sky and he will walk on this earth and we will reign with him forever. But I believe that the enemy right now wants to try and tempt us into believing that we can't access our bridegroom God right now. That there's too much sin in our lives, that there's too many hindrances, too many distractions, that there's not enough time. But friends, it's a lie. It is a lie. You were made for encounter. You were given a body and five senses and eyes and ears and fingers to touch, all because the Lord desires you to know him and that which we can't see right now to be more real than what we can see. Does that make sense? And knowing that this is why he died for me gives me hope. The anchor of my hope, as Hebrews says. It is him. Regardless of my season, I'm a new mom. I don't get any sleep. It's been a difficult season. I don't know what I'm doing. I'm always praying, help, Lord. What am I doing? Help, Lord. You know what the Lord tells me? He reminds me every week, I see you. Come up here. Come up here. If my son's crying in my ear, spitting up, not feeling well, come up here. Okay, Lord. Encounter awaits us. He's a living God. His word is living and active. You believe it? We believe it, Jesus. This is his desire. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your presence. Thank you, Lord. Hebrews 10 says, therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holiest place by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain, that is through his flesh. And since we have a great high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. I love that Hebrews is very corporate. If you read through the book of Hebrews, it is about a corporate encounter, corporate revelation. Many times you'll see it says, let us, therefore, holy brethren. I believe that this is something that the Lord is going to continue to usher you guys into as you come together and as you worship. If it's that you come to the house of prayer and you participate in the prayer sets, or you come to the voice ministries, the Sunday times, or whatever meetings they're having throughout the week, I really believe that there is this invitation. You're going to begin experiencing and encountering the Lord in a corporate way, unlike what you've experienced before. And it's not because I'm saying it, it's because the Lord desires it, and because I believe that those of you in this room desire it. What would it look like if we all came in for one thing? Better yet, one person. If we all came in to say, I want to come up there. If we preferred our brethren, it says in that Hebrews 3 verse I mentioned earlier, 3:1, therefore, holy brethren, you who share in a heavenly calling, friends, this is a corporate reality. It's a corporate reality in heaven right now. It's one on the earth, and it will be fully manifest on the earth when the knowledge of God covers the earth as the sea's waters cover the sea. Amen. But why wait, right? Why wait? A kingdom of priests that together we'd be able to walk through these doors, putting our preconceived ideas and offenses even and beliefs or different doctrines, if we'd be able to just set it at the door for a moment and come in and say, hey, brother, you want to go see Jesus? Hey, sister, you want to encounter the Lord together? What if this was the reality in every church? I'm not saying it's not, but what if we could put everything else on pause and there was one thing that we could all be like Mary and come into the place of worship, into his sanctuary, and say, I want to sit at your feet. I want to hear your voice above any others. This is an invitation. And I think, friends, you look around, the world is really dark. I don't have to get into politics. I don't have to tell you why. If you have eyes to see or ears to hear or whatever, a conscience, a heart beating at all, you can see it is becoming darker and darker. But how many of you know that the Lord desires to release his light through his church? That he desires to raise up in the darkest hour of history that is yet to come, darker than anything we've seen. We think same-sex bathrooms is pretty dark. Guys, it's going to get a little darker than that, as in the days of Noah. I won't go there. But really, it's going to get darker. But where is our hope going to lie that we won't be moved or shaken, that we won't be tossed to and fro? Where is it going to be? Is it going to be in the preacher, the pastor, or the teacher that's been feeding us lately? We need them. It's a part of the fivefold ministry. The Lord's ordained them and the offices for them to operate in. We need them. But friends, the place of intimacy with the Lord can only be cultivated by us, by you, you yourself. developing a friendship with him, that in the midst of darkness and as it increases, we would be able to say, oh, but look at who my Jesus is. Behold, he is coming to make all things new. And right now, he has made available for us to encounter him and be with him. Friends, we have good news to share. Your testimony, many of you in this room may have been even recently saying, what do I have to offer, Lord? I go to work, I do my job, I come home, I take care of my family. What do I have to offer? Friends, we all have a testimony in Jesus. We will overcome in the end by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. Amen. We got to tell each other about the goodness of Jesus. We get to come out of our secret place with him and say, hey, not out of comparison or competition to see who got the greatest, latest revelation, because you can get it all in the Bible. You're all going to get the same thing. The Bible's pretty prophetic, right? You don't have to try to be prophetic. The Bible is prophetic. Jesus, testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. But not to come together to compare, but to come together and to encourage each other. To come together and to see that we would be answering that prayer in Paul's heart, even that's in the Lord's heart, Ephesians 3, that they would know the depth, the width, the length, the height of the love of God, which surpasses knowledge. He wants to bring us in. Will we say yes? Will we be able to set aside differences and be able to see our brother? I don't even know who you are, but if you love the Lord and you follow the Lord, you're my brother, and we're running the same race. And the Lord loves you, and he sees you, and you have a story. And I get to encourage you, and I get to know your story in the Lord and your history in the Lord. And I get to be encouraged by your time with the Lord. We have a lot more in common than we even knew. It's amazing. I didn't plan to go here. This is just where we're going. Perhaps it was needed, helpful. But really, I just sense that in this room with you guys and even some people that aren't here tonight. Those of you, encourage your friends in the Lord, your brethren. Encourage them. Seek to lift them up, to prophesy over them, words of life, reminding them of how the Lord sees them, reminding them of his plans that he has, which are good, and you can find them in the Word. We need this. We need this in this hour. I need you guys as my family in the Lord. I don't even know you, but I need your encouragement. Thank you, Lord. I really believe, too, that there is healing yet to be seen in this body of believers that will continue throughout the next few months even. I just believe there is a grace being released upon you guys to see healing come. And I think it's going to start with you guys preferring one another and reminding each other of your identity in the Lord and how the Lord feels about you. And I believe the Lord wants to take Michiana Voice and House of Prayer and friends who are just coming and going. I believe he wants to take you guys and ignite you. Can I use that word? It's kind of appropriate. He wants to ignite you. You guys, as of right now, you're in the middle of a mall. You're going to be, this will be moved soon, I've heard, which is awesome because the place that you guys were at is just super cool and beautiful. And there's windows in the heavenly temple, there's windows in that prayer room. It's going to be awesome. All of you guys should go if you haven't been. But right now, you're in a mall. And I believe you're going to be having meetings where people are going to be coming in and going, what is going on? I just felt drawn to you guys. Better yet, I heard someone call my name. Crazy stuff like this happens, guys. Seriously. You come together with one focus to meet the Lord, and he does some really cool and crazy things. I had a few friends with me praying. We were trying to do a little prayer furnace on our college campus. We failed miserably. And then some other people picked it back up, and they didn't fail, and it's still going. Thank you, Lord. But by fail, it was all us. But we experienced for a whole year an outpouring of the Spirit of the Lord. And we would have people come off the streets and say, I saw fire coming from this building. I thought the lady was crazy. But she came, and the Lord had a word for her. This lady got saved off the street. She saw our building burning. It wasn't burning, but she saw it. Lord opened her eyes, drew her into the place of encounter. By the church being the church. And by that, we were coming together to meet with the Lord, to worship him, give him praise, do his name, because he's worthy, not because it's the right thing to do. Friends, I grew up that way. I was brought up in a great home, a great loving, believing family. My parents put me in everything church, everything they could possibly do. I was involved in church. But I didn't know what church was really about until I got encountered by the Lord. Until I realized that it was about meeting with him, about becoming like him, that I began to see, oh, you want to raise up a bride who looks like you. Whoa. And there's no competition in the bride. We're to be one. We're supposed to look alike. Seriously, we're supposed to look like him together. You guys, you're going to see as you give yourselves to this place of this one thing, desiring the Lord to see him in his glory and to come into the secret place, the corporate place of worship, into his sanctuary with one desire, not to be seen, not to be heard, but to meet with him and encourage your brothers. You are going to see a move of the Spirit unlike what you've experienced corporately before. I really believe it. Again, not because it's my words, but it's the desire of the Lord. What happened in Acts was real. It was real. It was a gathering. And fire descended. Fire. Tongues erupted. Churches were birthed out of a corporate encounter. It's beautiful. I also believe that there are people in here who genuinely need each other. You need one another right now. You need a brother or a sister to come alongside of you, to help you financially, to speak life over your family. This is what the body does. This is how we be the hands and feet of Jesus. And I want to encourage you guys, get to know one another if you don't. Get to know your families. Share your needs. And watch the Lord break in. So I wasn't planning on any of this. But I just love getting in the presence of the Lord and saying, oh, what are you saying? Because he speaks to us. When we ask, he wants to share his heart with his friends. Amen? And I believe some of you out here are even receiving things that I'm not even speaking. That's called the Spirit of Revelation. That's the Holy Spirit in you making known the mysteries of Christ as I'm speaking, yet it's not even coming out of my mouth. How many of you believe the Lord's been talking to you? Amen. Pictures. I want to encourage you, you who see in pictures, you artists in the room, keep doing what you do. We need you. We need you to paint the word for us. We need you to show us colors our eyes don't even see or comprehend. Images made known through the word, the spirit of revelation. We need you. Where's Sammy? Yeah, just stay right where you are. Just going to have a time to respond. We have been responding to the Lord, but I really believe that there are a couple of things, and I'm going to have Corey come up and as he feels led to, but we just want to just have a minute to respond. So I invite you guys just to stand with me if you can. So first, if you in the room just felt a witness in your heart related to wanting to encounter the Lord in a corporate way, yet you feel like there have been some barriers in your own heart, your own mind, that have prevented you, or not prevented you, but made it difficult for you to feel like you could just enter in when you walked into the place of worship. I believe you ask the Holy Spirit to highlight exactly why that is there, where it came from. And if that's you, I just want you to ask the Lord, forgive me, Lord. If it's a place of pain or offense or bitterness, someone's hurt you, I don't know, it could have been intentional or unintentional, it doesn't matter, but you've been hurt by the body of Christ. And you don't have to raise your hand in this moment, you know who you are. But I just invite you right now to enter into a dialogue with the Lord. Because he's seen you in your pain, he knows exactly why you're hurting, and he wants to set you free tonight. And I believe he wants to touch your bodies, your physical bodies as well. So if you're wanting an emotional touch from the Lord, you said, I need emotional healing in this area, or I need physical healing. These two things are being highlighted right now. Now I'm going to ask you, if you can raise your hand if you'd like, raise your hand and those next to you. We all have the Spirit of the living God in us, so we can all pray for one another. If you love the Lord, you are invited to be the ministry team. You can also come up here if you'd like to. We'll have some of the staff come around. But if you have been ministered to in those ways tonight, those are the first two things I just want to touch. Go ahead and stand out or raise your hand. We'll come around to you. Or you can come forward too. Thank you, Lord. Yeah, if you're in the middle, you can come out if you want to. Thank you, Lord. Let's get a hand right here. Everybody that has a hand up, look around. If you see someone with a hand up, just go and lay your hand on them. You can ask them if they want to share. If not, you can just begin praying for them. Father, we love you and we thank you. Thank you for your healing power. I thank you for your presence. Believe that you died that we would be healed of all sickness, of all disease, of all oppression. You have power and authority over it all. We give you our hearts right now. You say, forgive us and give us a new mind. Renew our minds right now. Wash over our hearts. We love you, Jesus. We want to represent you rightly. We believe that you desire to break off offense right now. We just give you our offense. We give you our hurts, our pains. We choose to forgive that individual who hurt us, who did wrong to us. We say, forgive us and heal our hearts. Thank you, Lord. We choose to see the way that you see in light. Release your light right now. And for the physical bodies, release your light into our bodies. Bodies be made whole right now in the name of Jesus. Minds be renewed. Healing in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. We respond to you. We respond to the unction that you're giving us in our hearts right now. We thank you for speaking to us. Healing. Bodies come in line with the word of God right now. And so our staff, if you guys have any words right now of knowledge, come on up.
It is earlier tonight. I had a real comprehensive pain, like all across the back of my shoulders, and just my body ached. It's like just a total body ache. And so if that's anybody in the room, just raise your hand up, because I feel like, you know, when the Lord highlights something, it's because he wants to heal it. And so we just want to pray for you tonight. So again, if it's neck, especially upper shoulders, but it was like a whole body just aching. Who's that? Just raise your hand up. Just keep your hand up for a second so we can pray for you. Okay, and one in the back there and one in the front. So if we can kind of just gather around these ones. And I'm sure I've mentioned this before, but I just want to say it again, that we don't have to ask Jesus to come and heal, because he has given us all authority to heal, and he commanded us to heal the sick. And so we just need to take authority over whatever the pain is or what the symptom is, and we command it to go in the name of Jesus. So, Father, we just thank you that you are the healer. We just declare right now over everybody in this room that's currently experiencing pain, and we command every ache, every pain to go in the name of Jesus. And we declare Isaiah 53, from the top of every head to the soles of every feet, that by your stripes, Lord, by your work on the cross, we were healed. And so we just release healing over everybody. We just release healing right now in Jesus' name. Two other ones that I had earlier was a pain in the knees. If there's somebody that has any pain in the knee, because I know I don't have any pain in my knee, brother, and I was feeling some pain in my knee. So is there anybody else that has knee pain? Okay, well, stay in. Keep praying for her. She has knee pain. These two guys have knee pain. You have knee pain. Okay, so let's. Russ has knee pain. So thank you, Jesus. Kathy has knee pain. Okay, Kathy has knee pain. Father, we thank you that you love our knees. You made every knee. And so we just command a creative miracle, God, that you would restore the knees right now in Jesus' name. We take authority over pain, degeneration in the knees, and we ask for a full miracle, a full creative act of restoration in every knee right now. So as soon as they pray for you, just kind of do what you didn't do before. Bend your knee, move your knee. Usually you're healed in the moving of it, because you got to do it by faith. And if you feel any pain at all, tell them and have them pray for you again. Jesus had to pray twice for a guy's eyes to be completely restored. So don't be afraid to pray a couple times. Healing over every knee, God. Every knee. Every knee. And I'm seeing a herniated disc right now, too. So in your spine, if you have a herniated disc, could just be a small tear or a complete herniated disc, but I'm seeing one. Maybe not a full rupture yet, but it's definitely got damage done to it. Is that you too? Man, I'm just calling you out. You just need a whole body overhaul. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you that you love our bodies. And so we just release healing over every body, Lord, and over my sister right now. We just take authority, God, over the work of the enemy to destroy her physical frame. God, we just bless her right now in Jesus' name. Complete healing. Complete healing. Be healed in Jesus' name. Be healed. Be restored. I just command strength into your frame. Strength into your frame. Strength. Fill her, God, with your spirit right now, again and again. Overflowing. Also seeing these little fiery darts, like tormenting thoughts hitting the mind. So this is more than just, you know, the occasional kind of irritation of the enemy's voice. This is the word is torment. It's a tormenting voice. Tormenting voice. Yeah. Tormenting voice. So if that's you, just raise your hand up so we can pray for you as well. Father, we thank you for the full armor of God. Full armor of God. And we just place firmly upon every head, God, the helmet of salvation that would guard our minds from the tormenting thoughts of the enemy. We take authority over every tormenting voice, every fiery dart. And we lift up a shield of faith as a corporate community right now over this group. A shield of faith that quenches every fiery dart. Not one more dart to get through in Jesus' name. God, release your truth. Release your truth upon every mind right now. The truth that would make us free. So knee people, move your knees. How's your knee doing? You ready to start jogging? Marathons? I see marathons in your future, brother.
Like this was, as I was praying for a few of you out there, just this theme just kept coming up. So I thought, well, I'm just going to pray this over the whole room then. But I feel like there are some of you in here who are just have asked, like, what would it take, Lord, for me to be able to spend more hours in the house of prayer? What would it take for me to do this corporately more with my family? What would it take? And the Lord put the desire in your heart. And it could be a week you're coming with your family. It could be you're doing this in your home. And by this, I just mean you are being the house of prayer. You are praying to the Lord. You're worshiping, giving praise to his name in a corporate way. Some of you are just saying, Lord, how can I do this more? And he said, I've made a way. I've already made a way. He says, just ask of me. And so even financially, some of you are asking for finances for that. If that's just you, just raise your hand. Thank you, Lord, that you own all the wealth in the world. You own cattle on 1,000 hills. We ask of you, Father. We say, open up the heavens. Open the storehouses for the ones who say, I want to be a watchman. I want to stand and burn and minister to you in the place of corporate prayer. Me and my family, Lord. It's the desire in his heart. Friends, we'll be doing it in the age to come forever. He will make a way for you and your family right now. Thank you, Lord. I just ask this week even for a testimony of your faithfulness. Provide for those asking. And also for joy. I just saw the Lord wanting to, I just felt like heaviness was just coming off tonight. Garments of praise for heaviness. And if you still feel a little heavy, just shake it off. Right now, Lord, I thank you that you give beauty for ashes. You give garments of praise for the spirit of heaviness. You give the oil of gladness. You give joy for mourning. You said that you would make your people joyful in your house. We believe it. You're a joyful God. You dance. You sing over us. You're not mad. You're not an angry God. You're a joyful God. You're joyful. You want to make your people joyful in your house. You desire to make us joyful. Thank you, Lord. So fill us afresh, I ask. In Jesus' name, we love you, Lord. Give the Lord a praise with your hands. We love you, Jesus.
Thank you, Sammy. No, thank you, Eric. I'm just teasing him. Good. Thank you, Megan. That was good. Let's give Megan a hand clap tonight. Thank you. That was a good word. It's a good word. I really appreciate how sensitive you are to the Lord and just follow his leading in that. How many of you feel like tonight, whether even through the message or through the ministry time at the end, that the Lord really did touch you tonight? How many felt that? Good. Amen. Good. Good. Yeah. Good. So I want to encourage some of you that were received prayer for healing. Many times healing does not happen immediately. I don't know why it works that way. Miracles happen immediately. And we've seen, literally hundreds and hundreds of miracles. And I love it when that happens. I love it when a blind eye opens. I'm shocked every time. Like, wow, it worked again, you know? Or the guy that couldn't walk walks, or the knee that was in pain, all of a sudden it's not. Or, I've seen people, this is even more miraculous to me sometimes than the ear or the eye, is when the guy has a cold, he's sneezing, runny nose, feels horrible, and you pray, and all of a sudden he's completely healed, and he's normal, like, can breathe. That's miraculous to me. It's like, wow, the cold went away. The Lord cares about all that stuff. But I want to encourage you, if you receive prayer tonight, look at it like penicillin. It goes in and it's going to work. It just takes a little time. You have to believe that about healing or it won't happen most of the time. You have to believe if you receive prayer for healing, the word of God is true, is it not? It's true. Jesus said that by his stripes we were healed. And ultimately, that's about the resurrection. Every single one of us, as a born-again believer, we will receive a resurrected body. Jesus paid for it at the cross. It's a done deal. We're going to come out of the grave in shining light, and we're going to be singing with perfect pitch. But right now, he's so good. He wants to touch these fragile, corrupted bodies, and he wants to heal them because he's just good. He's just good. And so it doesn't matter if it's the first time you got prayer for the thing or 100th time. You got to believe that he's good and that he's able. And I've seen so many healings after the second, third, or fourth day. I mean, I remember one, I don't know if you remember this, Bob, or not, but I've told this testimony a number of times where there was the young boy that came in with cancer in his stomach. He had a big mass, and his mom was going to take him on a Friday to the doctor. And so we prayed for him on a Monday, and she called frantic on Wednesday saying, he is in so much pain. What did you guys do? You know, it was like, yeah, that was Bob. Yeah, no, I don't know who did that. But anyway, so we pray again. You know, I think Dave Raymer and I went and prayed for the guy again. And anyway, when he goes in Friday to the doctor, the whole mass, the whole tumor was completely gone. They couldn't find it. You know, why did the Lord choose to do it that way? I don't know. But he did. It works. You know, healing work. But it took him a few days. It took him a few days to do that. So let me just tell you one other really quick testimony just for fun, because I want to encourage you guys. And then we're going to take a short five-minute break. And then we're going to start the practicum tonight. Do I have any Germans in here? By descent. Okay, that counts. Good, good, good. Yeah. I don't know how you could get there any other way, right? I mean, you kind of got to get there by descent. Anyway, so my last name is Stark. It's a German name. Like, I got it. My family came from northern Germany at some point. My great-grandfather did. But we're also Jewish, so it's a little weird. But they came through Germany, and there's no Jews with last names when they got to Europe. Jews were just, you know, like Joel, the son of whoever, and Nehemiah, the son of whoever. So they didn't have last names. So they gave them last names based upon either a character trait or a job or whatever. So somehow they got Stark. And so anyway, so the house of prayer that we were just at in Germany, there was seven messages that I was speaking there. The last one was going to be on the convergence of heaven and earth. And I was super excited because you know how I get about the book of Revelation and what's going to happen in the end of the age, right? So I'm ready to speak this message. And I'm sitting down Sunday morning, and I pull my notes out, and I just glance at them, you know, and I'm praying, and they feel absolutely dead to me. And I'm going, oh, no. Like, there's no anointing on this message today, which means God wants me to speak something else. But I had this planned, right? And they all have those notes in their seats. So anyway, so I say, well, Lord, what do you want me to speak on this morning? And all of a sudden, I start weeping for the message of Israel and the Jewish people. And, you know, I'm realizing I'm in Germany. There's, you know, you need a little nuance to this message because I'm speaking to German people that have gone through, you know, their sons and daughters of those that were, many of them, Nazis, right? So anyway, I give the message about God's requirement for the Gentile church to stand with the nation of Israel, to pray for them, to bless them. And they're, you know, Germans are typically stoic people, right? So I get that. So they're just looking at me. And I'm smiling, and I'm wondering, though, as I'm speaking this message, are they stoic because they are, you know, like, receiving the message? Or are they stoic because after the message, they're going to kill me? You know, it's like I couldn't quite figure it out. But anyway, so I give it, and I give an altar call for any of those that want to now regularly pray for the nation of Israel. They're going to commit to regular prayer. And I'm thinking, well, you know, there might be a couple that stragglers that come up for prayer, and that's good. I'll take the couple. But about 90 to 95% of all of them come up. Total weeping breaks out. But that's not, I mean, that's awesome, but that's not the miracle. If you've ever studied the end times, you have to look at the person, the Antichrist. If you've ever studied the Antichrist, you have to look at the person of Hitler, because he gives us a picture of how a man like that could just rise to power. And so I've studied Hitler quite a bit, and if you ever study him, you'll always come across a man named Heinrich Himmler. Okay, Heinrich Himmler. It was his right-hand man. So this lady comes up and tugs on my shoulder, and she just says, I'm Heinrich Himmler's granddaughter. And she goes, and I want to renounce my Nazi heritage, and I want to break all that off my generational line, and I want to repent on behalf of the German people. I said, I think you need to do it publicly, you know? And she goes, really? And I go, yeah. So I give her the mic. So she does it. Then we ask if there's anybody else in the room that wants to do that. And again, it was just, I mean, so many hands that went up, you guys. It was crazy. And that day, it was like the Lord broke off this shadow off of this house of prayer. And it's like he positioned them to receive everything that he has for them. And then there just happened to be this old Jewish guy that speaks Hebrew that just happened to be there that day. He never goes to this church. And so we asked him to come up and speak the Aaronic blessing over this whole group of Germans in Hebrew. And I mean, it was the most amazing day. Anyway, I share that to say, you know what? Who knows what God's going to do with us if we just keep saying yes to him, if we just keep saying yes. And I see him doing the same thing here everywhere. He's removing the hindrances so that we as a corporate body can receive everything that God has for us. And Megan's message tonight, I feel like, was spot on about some of the things that we're dealing with, some of the things that Michiana deals with. Because the Lord, in his mercy and his grace, he wants to give us those keys that just unlock all of our hearts, because his desire is that his kingdom would come here. More than we want it, his desire is that his kingdom would come. His desire is that his glory would be manifest. His desire is that he'd have a dwelling place here. And so I want to encourage you, you guys, he's inviting into it, and you've said yes, and you're here tonight, and the Lord is going to do it in his timing. In his timing. So let's just take a short, 5-10 minute break. We'll be back in here in just a couple minutes. We'll start the practicum tonight. Musicians, if you brought your instruments, make sure you bring those up to the front, and we'll get everybody trained tonight. We'll do some fun stuff with the equipment in the front. So 5-10 minutes, we'll be back in this room.